Good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this first edition of the Big Puzzle. In about 9 weeks, I've been away in the bush picking mushrooms. This show is being brought to you by PR. Oh, boy, did I ever start this show off wrong. You can tell I've been away for a while, eh, guys? Anyways, we were being broadcast through People's Internet Radio and also being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. We are viewer-supported station, guys, so if you like what's going on here, please put some money in the kitty. I know the stations would really, really appreciate it. I'm joined today by Duke Willis and Jesse James, but before I let them start talking here, I'm going to talk for a few minutes about my adventures out in the bush. You know, guys all know that I go away every year and I harvest mushrooms. It's something I kind of committed myself to doing here 3 or 4 years ago because I don't want to support my government in any shape or form, and it's one way that I can generate cash income and keep it away from our friend Justin Trudeau and his cronies. My time in the bush is very enjoyed by me every year. I really get a chance to unwind and reflect on everything that's going on and charge up my batteries, and now that I'm back in civilization, I'm going to try and get back right into the fight. It's very difficult for me to leave the bush because it is such an enjoyable, peaceful place out there compared to what's going on in the world right now. But I am going to get back into the fight here as I see my country is in great, great trouble. And with that being said, the reason I asked Duke Willis and Jesse to join me today because I'm sitting with two gentlemen I believe have real concrete solutions to the problems we're facing right now. And I'm going to let them talk about that. It was a great time in the bush, and I'm glad to be back, guys. And Duke, I'm going to let you go first, and Jesse, I'm going to let you say hi, and let's get talking about some solutions for this country before we lose it. Welcome to the show, John.
Sorry about that. I'm doing some video editing in the background. I don't know if my microphone picked that up or not. Sorry, my apologies. Hi, Barry. Good to have you back, brother. We've missed you while you've been out in the bush and committing serious personal injury to yourself.
Yeah. I blew my knee out, but that's life, guys. I tore my ACL, but it's fixable. Go ahead, dude.
Well, a lot's been going on while you were hiding away with Sasquatch way up there in the mountains. And here with me today is Jesse James, also known as Dallas Hill, and his wife Darlene. And Jesse has come all the way from BC, right across the country of Canada. Well, we call it the country of Canada euphemistically. Let's just refer to it as this great nation.
Turtle Island.
Turtle Island, yeah.
We'll call it Turtle Island. That's a simple fact, because Canada's a corporation. It doesn't exist. It's fiction. And as soon as we get the rest of the people in every single nation understanding that we have to get rid of de facto Canada, we will have a future. And that's the bottom
line. That's what I want. Yeah. That's what I want you to talk about today, Jesse, because a lot of people hear this statement and they have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, we're on. Okay, we'll do it. The bottom line is this. We're on Facebook. It's called De Jure Constitutional Conventions. We have a website. It's called The Myth is Canada. The Myth is Canada.
.ca.
And you can just Google it. The Myth is Canada. It's going to show up.
Yeah.
Now, we also have Duke Willis on YouTube. We have numerous other people, other patriots that are doing live feeds. Jamie Nix. All these names are available. And the bottom thing is, we need to get this going. It's a simple solution. So, since Canada is de facto, since Canada does not have a constitution, since the BNA Act is not a constitution, we need a true constitution based on a republic, not democracy, not direct democracy.
Not mob rule.
These are all fraud. We need inalienable rights. We need a true constitution where the people who have a constitution, how they want to be governed, not dictated. Okay, Duke's going to go live here. That's good, too.
Yeah, we're going to take you live, and hopefully the microphone will pick this up.
Actually, Dart, can you go up there and go on Duke's show there, and we'll see if it works. So Duke's doing a live right now from your show out to the internet.
To Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah.
So, Barry, let me back up a little bit here. And you've got a number. I shouldn't say it that way. Let me rephrase that. A significant portion of your audience on this show, I've been on your show before, are American listeners. Okay, am I fair to say that?
Yeah, I have a large audience of Canadian listeners, though, too.
Yes, but you have a pretty broad mix. So let me just give your American audience a little American insight into what's going on here. Way back when the United States consisted of, say, 15 to 20 of the Mississippi River and East states, when in the late 1800s, when the national slogan was "Go West, young man."
Yeah, go west.
Yeah, well, back then, places like the territory of Wyoming, the territory of Montana, they weren't yet states. And in order to become states, the people of, let's use Montana for instance, the people of Montana, the resident sovereign people of the land, first had to establish a constitution for the state of Montana, then a government for the state of Montana, a state flag. They had to legally establish the entity of the state of Montana. And only then could the state of Montana, as a legal equal entity, ask to be part of the Union. The same thing has to happen here in Canada. 1867 never created the legal sovereign state of Manitoba. In fact, the people that lived in Manitoba in 1867 didn't even decide what the boundaries of Manitoba or Saskatchewan or Alberta would be. A dictatorial bureaucracy in England took lines on the map and said, that looks like two equal-sized spots. We'll call this one Manitoba and that one Saskatchewan. And they used the lines of a map to chop it up.
No sound.
No sound. Hmm. Okay, wait till I get, let's get the microphone on here and see if I can get desktop audio. There, we should have both now. Sorry, my apologies for those of you watching.
How about now? Sound?
Can you hear the video feed? Jesse just informed me we had no sound. My apologies, folks. I sort of jumped into this live feed real quick without getting things totally set up.
They can hear us now. Good.
Okay, they can hear us now. So, as I was saying, for those that missed it, the United States.
You're getting
States
a little feedback there.
We're getting a little feedback.
That's good now there.
Yeah.
I killed that one there.
Okay, so we'll bring the microphone down a bit, and I'll move it up this way on my desk.
How about that? Is that fine, everybody? Can you hear us good on Facebook and YouTube?
And we'll bring this speaker down just a bit.
Can you guys hear us on Facebook and YouTube, Deborah?
Okay, we should be better now. You can hear us, Barry?
Yeah, audio's good on this end, dude. Everything's fine.
Okay.
Well, go ahead. Finish your thought.
We've got it good. Okay, so each state in the U.S. has to become a legal, lawful, sovereign entity before it can join the Union. The same thing has to happen here in Canada. In 1901, when Queen Victoria died, that was the first step in the releasing of all the dominions, all the colonies, not only Canada, but New Zealand, Australia, the Union of South Africa, Newfoundland, which has always been listed and named separately from the rest of Canada by the British Crown, always. They always say Canada and Newfoundland. Don't know why. We get into that another time. The British West Indies, places like Bermuda, Bahamas, Barbados, they all received their independence from the monarchy in 1901 when Queen Victoria died. They received their official independence from the British government, from the Parliament, in 1931 under the Statute of Westminster. A clause, Section 7, Paragraph 1, Paragraph 2, and Paragraph 3 of the Statute of Westminster, a British law, that section was written by a man named Russell Rogers Smith from Saskatchewan. He passed away in 1960, I believe it was 67 or 69. He wrote that clause at the request of William Lyon Mackenzie King. King took Mr. Smith's writings to England, and the British government inserted the Canadian's writing verbatim, word for word. They took Mr. Smith's proposed legislation and used it as Section 7 of the Statute of Westminster, and in it, it clearly terminates the federal government of Canada. It removes the Governor General and gives sovereignty back. The document says sovereignty is returned to the provinces. And if we were to apply that phrase in the U.S. to a state, it means sovereignty was returned to the people of the state or the people of the province.
Hmm. I'm getting a history lesson here, Duke.
Each and every person in the province of Alberta is sovereign in the province of Alberta. Each and every person in the province of Ontario is sovereign in the province of Ontario. The name Canada only applies to the incorporated bureaucracy registered as the Government of Canada, Inc., and it applies to the three territories that fall under the jurisdiction of the federal government, the Northwest Territories, the Yukon, and Nunavut. The provinces being dominions, and I'm sure everyone out there is old enough, most of you, anybody close to 50 years old, can remember whether you lived in British Columbia or Newfoundland or Ontario, you can remember when we had Dominion Day,
yep,
before there was Canada Day, before there was the Maple Leaf flag. I'm 58 years old, born in 1960, and I remember when they brought out the Canadian flag 100 years after Confederation. Don't you think if Canada was going to be a country, we would have had a flag when they created the country, not 100 years later?
Well, it's the same as the U.S. too, right? When the first 13 colonies were created, they created themselves republics.
They didn't even finish the Revolutionary War, and Betsy Ross had already sewn the United States a flag.
Yeah.
And here, 100 years later, the fake country of Canada still didn't have a flag.
Yeah. So that's the bottom line. So right now, Barry, we're being broadcast in the U.S. too, correct? Right now,
yes, we are.
That's most of the people listening are probably from the U.S., right?
No, his audience is a pretty good mix of, yeah, Canada and America. Canadian, well, that, that's American good. Audience.
No, yeah. I mean, we'll talk about the Americans too, right? The Americans are the same trouble as the rest of all the other nations. They've been hijacked too since 1913 under the War Measures Act. The U.S.'s Constitution, the Republic Constitutions, were very, very important, but they've been hijacked because they didn't protect the Constitutions. This is what we're doing in British Columbia and Alberta, Saskatchewan. We are creating a true Constitution that's going to be protected, so you can't manipulate it. The politicians now, they take the fake BNA Act, pose it as a Constitution. They can change, amend it, whatever suits them, and that's the bottom line. So that's why we have no accountability, and this is why the people have no say in the Corporation of Canada.
Okay, so let's look at two quick issues in modern terms. I've talked enough about what happened in ancient history 150 years ago. Let's look at modern conditions. Now, Dallas just touched on two things. Let's look at the first one. Our current, as so many people like to call it, our current constitution, legally and officially in Canada known as the Charter of Freedoms and Rights. Well, first of all, it's not a constitution, it's a charter. It even says so in the name. A constitution must constitute something. It must declare, it must proclaim something. The charter doesn't do that. What do you use a charter for? You use a charter to register an incorporated company. A constitution is a document created by the sovereign people of a land to create a government and control, important word, control that government. That's what a constitution does.
Well,
the Charter of Rights and Freedoms does nothing to control
what
the government. It gives the government control over us. The problem with our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, it is composed of several different documents. The main document being the British North America Act. The problem with that is the only original copy, therefore the only legal copy of the British North America Act resides in the government archives in England. Actually, I forget, Doug Force could give you the name of the small town just outside of London, like a suburb of London, where the archives are. And that's where the only copy resides. So what do we have in Canada that is part of our Charter of Freedoms and Rights? We have a photocopy of the British North America Act. And in accordance with Canadian business registration law, photocopies are not legal documents.
Let alone that.
Well, that photocopy makes every other document in our Charter of Rights and Freedoms superfluous and illegal and useless. We don't have a legal Charter of Rights because they're lying to us with a dead photocopy of a dead document.
Well, it's dead, but the most important thing, you know, the way you look at it is this. They have a contract that says they are the master and we are the slave. That's the contract, pretty much. They can do what they want.
It's been that way since 1792.
Well, it's been like this way for 6,000 years, as far as I can tell. The elite families controlling everything.
Here in Canada, since 1792.
So, I mean, there's a good documentary called Marching to Zion. You're going to watch that on YouTube. Another video for the Americans is you have to understand, too, they're under the same threat. They've been hijacked, too.
The same people that killed Kennedy are the ones trying to kill us all now.
Yeah, that's right. So that's where we're at.
I should say the same people that killed both Kennedys.
You know, they've been steady with the fluoride, the chemtrails, et cetera, et cetera. All these things we can't control because they control the system. We don't have any accountability. There's no transparency. Everything's covered up, hidden. Very important that we, the people, stand up and change it. If we don't do this, we're doomed. And the bottom line is this. People in BC have to get off their ass. Same as in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba. Like I said, we're running out of time. We got to the end of July here, and then we'll move to the next step. That's boycotting all taxes to the government. We're going to move forward with that position. You go to your employer. You tell your employer you want all your money. Sign an affidavit to get all your funds transferred to you. We stop paying the system. That will cut back the massive amount of free welfare we're giving all the migrants coming to our nation. Sorry to say that, but that's the truth. We can't look after our own, but we'll spend billions and give them hotel rooms. I'm not trying to be rude to these people. I know they went through major stress over there, whatever they have to do, but they're not assimilating into our country. They're not.
They will just.
They're never designed to. Why? They're not coming up with their own agenda. They don't care about us. They only care about themselves. This is called division. It's done deliberately by Albert Pike's doctrines. You can talk about the dogma. First World War will create the Belford. Second World War will create the State of Israel. And the Third World War is you start knowing your history. The facts are we're in big trouble, and we're in big trouble because people don't know how to stop the problems. Okay? We know how to stop it now. We have a chance.
You got to say at this point, Jesse, that people are aware of the problem in Canada.
Yeah, they're aware of
it. Let me just finish my thought. I run into this all the time, that people are aware of the problems. They know something's really messed up in our government, but they're still unable to face reality. And I see that in people all the time. They do not want to know. And we've got to somehow change the mindset of Canadians. And that is something that, honestly, I ask myself every day. How do we reach these people with the importance of what we're talking about? Go ahead.
I empathize with you, Barry. I really do. Because one of the pictures I post on social media often is a picture of the British Prime Minister Chamberlain standing on the tarmac with the wind blowing a treaty in his hand and people behind him cheering.
Cheering, okay. And what, how many days later did Germany start the war?
Exactly. But what I have to look at it from the outside looking in. You have to try and grasp how deep the fear was rooted in these people about what they knew was coming and how desperate they were to grab at any hope that would alleviate that fear.
Right.
That's where we are. That's when I say we, I'm talking about John Q. average Canadian who outright refuses to accept the indisputable evidence that's presented to them only because they can't bring themselves to face the fear that realizing that evidence will put in them. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's a hurdle they've got to cross on their own.
Why is that hurdle now in our society? Do you go back 70 years and
Because that fear, that realization was never here in our land, Barry.
Exactly. Well, there's other reasons too, Duke. You know, if you look at Canadian society 70 or 80 years ago, and these problems were rising, Canadian men would be in force standing up, yelling and organizing and signing up to stop what is going on. But today we see a society that's become so apathetic.
I'll let Dallas address the whole feminization and demasculization of society.
It's all a major part of it, that what we see right now unfolding in society is a plan that's been in place for many, many, many years. And what
hundreds
we see now
of
is
years.
Right. And incrementally, they've made these changes in society, because you guys know if they brought in these changes overnight, society would be freaking. But slowly but surely, they pushed another inch, pushed another inch, pushed another inch. And society doesn't recognize it. Now we find ourselves a mile from the starting gate. Go ahead.
I'll give you an example of how they did it. They put Ozzie and Harriet Nelson on TV. They put Ward Cleaver on TV. And guess what? Four generations later, that's the parents you've got out there who are dressing their kids in drag because it's the cool thing to do. And we're chic and hip and we're keeping up with the Joneses just like Ozzie and Harriet Nelson did.
Well, the biggest thing is this. They control the fake fiat cash like they control the fake governments. So what they do is anybody that has any common sense will not work for these idiots. So they hire these people that just want their jobs and their money. They wine and dine them. And these people don't have any respect for themselves or their fellow man or fellow female. They indoctrinate these children in the school system. They call the school system indoctrination. And as they grow in the school system, they become the next teachers as long as they follow the guidelines to believe the bullshit they teach. I've talked to teachers, and the teachers say they're told to lie, and that's how they get paid. If they go against the curriculum, they lose their jobs. No different than scientists. When scientists come out and say that global warming is a scam, climate change is a scam, they lose their funding. So this is what we got. We either get paid.
You got children being conditioned in the school now with the transgender movement and all this other stuff that's being put into their mind.
Hey,
well, you know, and I know. Go ahead.
No, what? Ontario is a perfect example of that, Barry. Before you went into the bush, just before you went into the bush, Doug Ford, the premier of Ontario, had just announced that they were going to bring back the gender education segment of the Kathleen Wynne controversial sex ed program. But good news, they're going to bring it back starting in grade 1 instead of in grade 6.
Oh, well, you got to get them when they're young, Duke, because you condition the brain. And you know, and I know, when a child's growing up, you relate back to your childhood growing up. You wanted to be accepted in school. You want to be accepted by your buddies. You didn't want to be rejected. And now the trend is this in schools, and it's being pushed on the kids like, you know, you want to be cool. This is what you do. And I'm telling you, buddy, this is insanity what's going on in our schools right now.
It is.
My question is, where are the parents? Like, where has our moral foundation from our society gone? Have we gotten to the point
now? I'll tell you where the parents are, Barry. They're busy working two jobs, and daycare is raising their kids for them.
Well, yeah, the school system is raising their kids for them. Because you're right. Both parents need a job just to make ends meet. But
just
that, again,
Bruce,
is all part of the picture. It really is. When you look at everything that's going on, I mean, you're talking full spectrum. You're talking full spectrum of our health.
I think those two is that you can't blame the parents. To a certain point, you can. But you have to understand the parents are struggling from paycheck to paycheck. And there was a time, yes, what the oligarchy does is this. They create a boom, then they create a depression. Create a boom, create a depression. Create a boom, create a depression. So they give you like, we're going to do something good for you. So we get the con jobs, and they give you this little bit of a boom, and then we get the liberals, and then they suck it back and forth. It's a yo-yo. So the system keeps going around back and forth, back and forth. And things are good to a certain point. They know things are not well, but they know they're still maintaining a decent lifestyle where they can feed their families, et cetera, et cetera. So in 1980, they did that. They ripped the carpet out from everybody. And then after 1980, after they stole a bunch of stuff from everybody and wiped them all out, then they slowly let people have their rights back again. They give them a little bit of freedom, a little bit of cash. And then 1990, 1991, they did it again. Then, 2007, they came in and kicked everybody in the teeth again, ripped them apart. Now it's 2016, 2017, and this depression's lasted 3 years because now they want more. They always want more, and they keep giving us less and less. That's what happens in a society. So we, the people, have two choices. You can conform to being insane like they are, or you can stand up and fight the system and then slowly erode their system. Right now, we have the biggest awakening because so many people know that it doesn't matter if you vote for Trump or Hillary Clinton or Bush in the United States or Al Gore. It's not going to matter. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party are the same parties. They all work for the same foundation. The foundation you can't say out loud because you can be condemned for it. Same as the Corporation of Canada. They're all owned by the same people. Doesn't matter if you vote Scheer, Harper, Notley, Morgan. They're all the same people, like Gordon Campbell and criminal Christy Clark in BC before Gordon Campbell had to remove
himself. Or the Jason Kennys.
Or the Jason Kennys. Or the list goes on. Gretchen, Harper, Mulroney.
To quote Canadian constitutional lawyer Rocco Galati, it doesn't really matter who you vote for. We have the red team and the blue team and the orange team, but they're all the same league. They're all actually football players.
What do you call those rainbows that go across the street to paint everywhere?
Oh, the crosswalks. Oh,
yeah. What do you call that?
The pride crosswalks.
There you go. They're the pride team.
People got to remember too, Jesse, that these people that we're talking about right now control all financial institutions in the world today. And when they want to collapse the dollar and they want to create chaos in society, because out of chaos will come control. When we get to the point where we're standing in mass against them, they simply have to collapse the dollar. And unfortunately, thousands and thousands of people will fall for the trap. And they will bring in a new system, and they'll put that. You know, and I know, buddy, when the human mind is put into a state of chaos, you'll do anything to get rid of that scream in your brain. And along will come the government with the new system. You guys can go back to work. Everything's fine. We've got it fixed. But you got to wear this little chip in your wrist from now on, and all business will be done through that.
Well,
that's coming, buddy. That's coming.
Barry,
I don't care what you say. That is going to come.
First-year political science students will tell you it is a confirmed social oddity, if you will, that throughout history, whenever there's been social unrest and upheaval towards the government, those who wish to take over foster the unrest, they promote the upheaval and the violence and the disturbance. Then when it's just at its peak, they're the same group that come forward with the solution being their ideas.
Yeah.
And people desperate for a solution, seeing blood on the streets, grab the first solution that comes along, which 9 times out of 10 is communism. That's the very scenario that put Che Guevara in power.
Exactly.
In his part of the world, it's how socialism has taken over much of South America. It's repeated itself time after time after time. The Khmer Rouge created unrest in the public and then came forward with the solution to the unrest. So we're going to see the same thing here in North America. Groups like Antifa and the other violent segment of the extreme left are going to do everything they can to promote a social structure of self-destruction. Then they will come forward with their nice clean suits and ties and propose a solution to the social destruction that they created. And the sheeple will eat it up, because just like the Brits standing on the tarmac cheering for Chamberlain and his fake treaty, by the time our streets are filled with blood and bullets, they'll accept any offer that comes their way.
Well, it's not so much that too, right? Very. Look at that. Look at, you've been around a long time and you chatted quite a bit over the years.
I thought we weren't going to joke about how old he is.
That's right. That's right. So we, so let's look at the big picture. Barry, how do we all know the problems, right? But no one's ever had the solution. You know, but we've had the solution, but it's so hard to get people to understand a solution because they've been brainwashed that they got to vote for somebody, even though it's the lesser of the evil. So this brainwashing, and when you're younger, they always said, don't talk about religion and don't talk about politics. We should have been talking about religion and politics in the bar.
And we in all school. Five generations ago.
Yes, and that's the problem. We should have been talking about over the kitchen table. When someone says, I'm going to vote Hillary Clinton in the United States, they have a tree out back. The rope, right?
You hit him so hard he's got whirlpools and, oh no, I can't talk like that on the radio.
So we have an indoctrination of the system where people are trying to find a hero. So then up, you know, they got the big hero now. They figure in the States called Trump.
But that's Trump's, because they keep thinking somebody's going to do it for them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, someone's got to come along that actually cares about it.
Someone will save us.
They're looking for Superman, but they keep forgetting that Superman is a fake comic book. Didn't happen. Wonder Woman's not there.
That's okay. Mighty Mouse is going to save them. Don't you worry.
What happened to Goofy? I guess they don't know the radio.
No, I'm not going with that joke.
So the bottom line is,
because she's that Goofy.
I know.
He keeps setting me up for these lines, Barry. If I swear on your radio show, it's not my fault. Dallas is setting me up for these.
I know it's all my fault.
He keeps pitching. I may have to swing. I'm sorry. I apologize ahead of time. We have a question here, Barry. I told you that I'm live on Facebook right now, so Facebook is watching the three of us, and they can hear you. On Facebook, we're being asked, everyone I talk to wants to know how we're going to form our own leadership. Can you talk about that, please? Maggie, that's all that Dallas and I really do talk about, bottom line. We may talk about a whole lot of things, but we always end up at the same place. We have to do in 2019 exactly what the founding 13 colonies did in the United States in 1776 and what every subsequent U.S. state did since then to become part of the Union. We must first form 10 independent, legal, internationally recognized states called British Columbia, Alberta, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, etc., etc., etc. Only then can those 10 legal, independent countries come together just like the 50 lower 48 legal U.S. states come together and form the Union. Once all 10 provinces are legal, lawful entities, all equal legally, they can then come together if they choose to form a Union. Mm.
That also would be an act. Go ahead, Jesse, but one quick thought. I mean, sure. Really, when you think about it, if we have 10 independent unions in Canada and each one of those unions has a representative, major decisions in Canada would be made by those 10 individuals on a majority basis?
I'm just asking, right? I understand, Barry. Think about this.
You've been part of all kinds of groups, even your hockey organization. You've helped in the organization of groups like that. You know that the bigger the group, the harder it is to come to
organize it.
To organize it and to even debate an issue and come to some kind of radical conclusion or rational rather conclusion. So what if we were to form a federal government? It's 4 years from now in the future. All 10 of what we now call provinces are internationally recognized as independent sovereign states and countries on their own. And all 10 decide we need to form a national government that we can administrate the assets of the entire landmass in the benefit of all the people. To do that, we don't need to create the Federal Health Bureau of Canada, because each and every country has its own already. There's already Ontario Health. There's already Manitoba Health. So we don't need to do that. We don't need to create our own federal aviation program. Each country has its own. To be honest, our federal government could consist of nothing more than two elected officials from each country.
Not elected, hired employees.
Well, there you go. Hired employees.
We're going to get rid of this politician bullshit crap. Because you look good in your drama teacher, because you got whatever, like Christy Clark runs around there pretending she knows what she's doing. These people have no skills. They have only one skill, is to reap the rewards from the Bilderberg Group and steal the money from you and you, everybody out there. So in the constitution that Alberta is building right now, it's pretty well said. There's been a lot of things said that there's no more politicians. You're going to be hired as an employee. Each country will be its own country. So here we go. You've got Ontario that thinks they should be telling BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Yukon, Manitoba what to do because they've allowed mass migration into their country. It's ridiculous. 60 to 70% of those people are not born in Canada. We need to have this fundamentally changed in the Constitution of Alberta. It was even brought today to me that you need at least 2 to 3 generations before you vote. How's that for a fixer-upper?
If we could try not to cuss on the show, I appreciate it, buddy. The other station, it offends a few people. No problem. Go ahead. Just a couple times.
Fine. So how do we...
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, go ahead, buddy.
Pretty short.
It wasn't me.
If you're not born in Canada, you shouldn't be able to vote. You are a guest coming to our country. You don't like it? Go home. We didn't invite you here. You came as a guest. You came here to better your life, then you fit in or go home. Seriously. Yes, I don't mind people coming here having Chinese restaurants, the Italians bringing, but they worked with us for years. The assimilation of our nation now is not benefiting us. It's not.
We
kick the vets out, we kick the homeless out, but we cater to people that haven't paid a penny to our system. They bring in foreign cash. We don't even know where it comes from. It's fiat cash. They flood our markets. We all know what's happening. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out they're doing this deliberately. It's intentionally done. I mean, I have people telling me stuff behind the scenes. They know what's going on. Albert Pike, it's all there.
Right.
There's great people that migrated here for immigration that wanted to become Canadian. Yes, they came here to have a better life. But we have division. We have special minorities that think they should have more than the real people that built this nation. It's a two-tier system, seriously. Now, the same thing happened to the natives, the originals of North America. They were wiped out, put on to concentration camps, not like the work camps in Germany, into concentration camps. Not like the
euphemistically called reservations.
Reservations. Right. So the Japanese, right. The Germans were all locked up in Canada, United States during World War I and II, et cetera. Huge.
But the government fools Canadians with the word reservation.
Yeah.
It's really a prison camp.
That's right. So they did it to the natives, and they got assimilated to nothing. You know that? That's exactly what happened. Free land was given to the settlers, and then once they got their feet set up, then the corporations moved in bigger and bigger and bigger. Now the corporation is under threat because people are waking up to their scams. So they're going to have massive immigrants and migrants flooding our borders deliberately, intentionally. They're doing this to divide us again. We cannot become divided. We have to fight for our nation. We need nationalism now. Nationalism. Everybody in Alberta is nationalism. Albertans are proud of Alberta. People in BC are proud of BC, except they're not proud of Vancouver. Vancouver's a shithole now. And then we have Toronto. We have Niagara Falls. I've been there for the last 2 days. It's a mess. It's not a tourist thing anymore. It's a thievery. Horrible. We need to slow down and figure out how to fix the problem. I mean, the only way we're going to fix this problem is we get rid of the government, because they're the ones that are causing all these issues, because they say they can create the laws to steal our money, to allow mass migration, to make the Canadians second-class citizens, to make the natives a third-class citizen. We can't even get water to our natives and sacrifice our children with G5 or 5G poisons, killing them there, murdering them.
Oh, Barry, you got to see some of the videos we got yesterday at this conference out at the Six Nations Reservation here in Ontario. This guy did a talk about, first, the smart meters that hydro companies are putting on the sides of your houses. And then he talked about 5G. I never
scary had stuff.
Oh, dude, these smart meters are killing us three generations from now.
I've got them posted on the Constitutional Convention, Barry, and it's worth a good watch. It's also everything that we put up, we don't want to own it. We'll put it out there. If you like it, download it, upload it, email to your friends and family. We don't need to worry about sharing information that's going to save our nation. And those who want to, you know, do what they have to do, not to share information, they want money for your information, that's fine. People do that, but whatever we have, it's free. Because this
you guys remember the movie Zombie Apocalypse, buddy, when they unleash 5G on society to where they want to bring it, we will be a zombie apocalypse. Because you're talking almost microwave levels around your brain 24/7. It's a weapon. And boy, you guys, anybody that isn't looked into 5G already, you better start looking into it. And how it ties in with the smart meters, it is an unbelievable organized and orchestrated attack on the human body.
You know what blew my mind?
What's going on? I've looked at multiple studies on it now, listened to multiple reports on it, and it's just beyond scary. Go ahead.
Barry, they were showing data in this video yesterday. This scientist was showing data where you have to kind of bear with me because I don't remember the exact measurement terms, but it was like 0.5 of these electronic radiation cycles, however they measure it, had been determined to be enough to cause alterations in moods and behavior in prepubescent children. It had been enough to determine that it would cause problems with fertility in women. And this is coming from smart meters at 0.5 of one unit. The government has set tolerable levels. The government of Canada and the United States has set tolerable levels at DAR 600 and 1,000.
Between 600 and 1,000.
Yeah, 600 and 1,000 units per minute or whatever it is. And they know that 0.5 units per minute is enough to cause physical and psychological damage.
The most important thing I picked up with the whole thing was like two generations now, the children won't live as long as their mothers and fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. So
look at the rise in childhood disease, man. It's off the charts.
Cancer everywhere. That was brought up yesterday too.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting incidences of brain cancer in children now, and they're just spiking like crazy. Well, what's going on, guys? Come on.
Oh, the numbers that he quoted yesterday on, was it diabetes?
Oh, yeah.
That in 1951 or 52, diabetes was like almost non-existent, and now it's next to cancer, one of the top five health problems in the world.
Yeah. Well, we could say the same thing about autism, Duke. I mean, in 1959, the incidence of autism was 1 in 25,000 children. Yeah, now it's 1 in 50 boys and 1 in 28 girls. And that's projected to go 1 in 2. Yeah. Well, no, nothing. Buddy, if you look at the scale of increase in vaccinations and look at the scale of rise of autism and put them over top of each other, well, it's just a coincidence that they're almost identical. And then add into the fact that the GMOs are putting into our food and then the chemicals are spraying in our sky and the fluoride they put into these kids' body to facilitate the movement of these things into the child's brain. And our kids are turning into vegetables. And we're all standing around going, hey, everything's fine.
Okay.
What's the take, guys?
Let's get back to Maggie's question. What is the solution to this? The solution, first of all, you have to accept the fact they've been spending, our enemy, let's colloquially, with quotation marks around it, use the word they, have been spending not decades, not generations, but hundreds of years perfecting the techniques and methods that they are employing against us today. We are not going to fix this problem overnight. There's no Here, take this red pill and you'll feel better in the morning. Solution to this. The only solution is going to take you getting off your Timbit-eaten ass and going out on the street, waking up your neighbors, and working together to achieve a constitutional convention, seating a de jure sovereign government and leaving the de facto system to rot on its own. You can find out more about how to do that at themythiscanada.ca. That may sound like a simple solution, ladies and gentlemen. It's not, and I won't fool you into thinking that it is. But you have to start the solution somewhere, and you start it at themythiscanada.ca.
And it's going to take every one of us to make it work. It's not something you can just say, oh, I'll follow my neighbor along with this one, because it takes
what we're talking about. And correcting, you know, what we're talking about here today could be applied to any country in the world right now.
Yeah.
Whether you're in England or Scotland or France or Australia or Germany, anywhere in the world, the same principles can be applied to your society. So we're seeing the same problems worldwide. Here we're talking about a solution, I believe, would actually make monumental changes and get us going in the right direction. And if we don't, the future isn't very bright, gentlemen.
Well, Barry, it's funny you mention that, because Doug Force from The Myth Is Canada, he often states that what we're doing here in Canada could be the wick to the bomb that ignites sovereignty and we the people around the world.
Exactly.
Let's keep in mind, I just explained, Dallas and I have been explaining to you how Canada isn't a legal country and our government is a bureaucracy, not a government. The same conditions apply in New Zealand, in Australia, in many of the independent countries that currently make up South Africa, in some of the countries like Haiti, where there is no real government, right? It's just a political nightmare. Well, many of those countries could sit back and view the sovereignty movement of Canada as being the answer to their problems. And if we think Trump is going to bring down the cabal or burst the cabal bubble, it just might be we, the people of Canada, who grab the pin and burst that cabal bubble by igniting sovereignty and patriotism around the world.
Now, I think you brought up, Barry, was about voting. You know, it's not going to matter who you vote for. Now, it's not. Seriously, they're all the same. They're all the same. They're all the same scumbags. So, I mean, people are going to be scrambling. If we don't vote, the migrants are going to vote in Trudeau again. It's not really going to matter. Seriously. They've already pre-selected who will be elected. And when you figure that out, you understand that elections have been fraud since the beginning of time. It's like, it's a Trojan horse. No matter how you look at it, they still have their man in there, or their woman in there, you know, called. They pop it up once in a while and make women feel good that, you know, we'll get a female president and we'll get a black president. And it's just ridiculous. We'll get a female prime minister. We'll get a female premier, et cetera, et cetera. They play the game. We have a society that doesn't understand how they're being manipulated to fall down the toilet hole. So that's the bottom line. So we need to educate people as soon as possible that they need to look at, if something's not working, Barry, do you keep doing it?
Well, you know, it's like the amazing rise of Justin Trudeau from drama teacher to prime minister in 10 years, you know?
Well, look at the other guy.
Ski board instructor to prime minister in 10 years. It's pre-selected. Nothing will ever change unless the system is taken down. And what we're talking about here today is, to me, a logical solution to the problem. Well, it's the only solution I can see right now to the problem. Because, like you said, it's the same snake with a different head, and nothing will ever change. It's been the same way for the last 100 years in Canada. They have built their power structure. They have manipulated their laws to give them unbelievable power. People think they have democracy in Canada. You have it for approximately 9 hours every 4 years.
Hey, Barry.
Everything changes. Go ahead.
Watch your time.
We're almost... Yeah, we've got 5 minutes left here, guys. Listen,
okay, real quick, I can sum up the all the evidence you need to know that our Canadian government does not represent the people. 1990 Alberta Supreme Court, Little Child versus the people of Canada. The Supreme Court of Alberta ruled that the people of Canada have no recourse, that politicians, even as candidates, whether they get elected or not, have the legal and lawful right to lie to you, to promise you anything, and you cannot hold them accountable to
accountable.
It.
Isn't that great?
That, ladies and gentlemen, is politics in Canada, and you wonder why we Canadians want to change it. Dallas, say goodbye to everybody.
Okay, everybody, we're going to be going live tonight at 9 o'clock on the patio with Duke. We're going to talk about what happened at the Six Nations, and Duke is going to be working his butt off so we can play some of the footage for you and talk about it. So, everybody, I hope you can come in tonight.
Okay.
Meet some of the good people. Thanks, Barry, for having us on today.
Thank you, Barry.
And the gentleman who's broadcasting to the U.S., we're with you too down there, brothers.
Hey, it's been a slice having you guys on, and this hour went by too quick. What was said at this conference, Stony Nation, at Stony Plains there, if you guys, I got Jurgen coming in, but I wouldn't mind hearing from one of you just for the first couple minutes of the second hour here, exactly what was said there, and then I'm going to let Jurgen talk for the hour. If you want, you can hang around for five. If not, we got Jurgen Volrath coming up the next hour, guys, so hang in for that. Hey, Duke, thanks a lot for joining me, buddy. Always a pleasure. And Jesse, we will be talking real soon. I'll try to get back in the loop here. Like I said, I'm a little bit out of the loop today, and I got a little education, so thanks for your time, gentlemen.
Barry, thank you for having us on, sir. We'll keep my Skype turned on, and when you've got Jorgen in, if you want to bring us back in, just send us a little blip, and we'll join you on Skype again.
Well, I wouldn't mind talking about what was said at that conference, because that is of great interest.
Yeah, right, Dallas, now, so. Dallas can fill you in better on that than I can, so just reach back out to us on Skype, and he's sitting right here.
Okay, cool. Do that, gentlemen. And we're going to take a break here for about 5 minutes, and I'm going to be back with Jurgen Volrath. Hang around, guys, because I know he's got lots to say today. Back in five. Welcome back to second hour, guys. Here we've got a little bit of confusion in here. Everybody's trying to talk in the background during the break, and it was quite entertaining. But I've got Jurgen Volrath here, and over the last couple of years, I don't know how many shows I've done with Jurgen, but probably one of my favorite guys to talk with on the radio. His passion and his concern for what's going on in the country, I believe, is unmatched in a lot of people. But, you know, I asked Duke and Jesse to hang around here for about 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I'd really like to hear a little bit more information about this conference that just took place. And I was going to ask Duke or Jesse to fill us in a little bit on that before I let before I put the battery in the Duracell bunny I call Jurgen Volrath. Jesse, you want to fill us in or Duke? Who's more educated on what happened at this conference, gentlemen?
Well, sorry, I turned my microphone off there for a second. Jesse's just gotten up and stepped away from the room. This conference that we went to yesterday was put on by the CPU, the Canadian People's Union, by Nicole LaBrassure. They had a number of very important and, I would say, unbelievable informational speakers. The most important thing that happened yesterday was the people that we met who were listening to all the speakers and gathering all this information. But when we talked to them about constitutional conventions and the fact that what the natives were being put through was no different than the treatment that the white man was receiving, the only difference was that it had the Indian Act written on the top of a piece of paper instead of the White Man's Act written on the top of a piece of paper. It was all the same draconian controlling regulations that dehumanize us all and turn us all into persons, not people. And the realization that hit people that, yeah, you know what? They've put us all in the same boat. That was probably the most important thing that came out of yesterday.
Wow. That's a good thought, dude. Boy, how do I add to that one right now?
Well, yesterday this gentleman I was talking to, Keith Henry, He said, I agree. They moved all of us onto reservations where none of us knew how to hunt and fish and live. And now they're shutting down all your farms, all your rural areas. It's being made impossible to live out there. And they're herding all of you into big cities the way they herded us onto reservations. And I said to him, yes, bingo. They're doing to us what they did to you. They did to you what they're doing to us. It's all the same. We're all in the same boat.
It's called Agenda 21.
Yeah, it's called killing off enough of the world to get us down to a quote-unquote sustainable population.
Well, it's in the Georgia Guidestones. They want to get us down to 500 million, so that means about how many 8 billion of us got to go somewhere.
Yeah. Hi, Jorgen.
How you doing, Jorgen?
Hey, we're doing fine, fellas. Glad to be on with you. It's great to be back with royalty again, the Duke and the Prince. I can't believe it.
Well, that's where'd you get that one, Jorgen? You've been thinking that one up for a while. I mean, boy, oh boy, that one kind of caught me off guard.
I think about that all the time with you guys. I always feel like I'm on the show with royalty, and I better step up to the plate and be very good at what I'm talking about.
Well, Jorgen, you always are good at what you're talking about. I mean, I went and watched that video again you did on the back of that pickup truck and the views you got on that. And I'll tell you, Canada, right now at this point in my life, I don't think I would be able to say this 10 years ago, but I'm really, really in fear for where our country is going in the next couple of years. And like Jesse says, we don't have a lot of time to fix this because the agenda is being ramped up on us so fast. And things are going to change so quickly. And all of a sudden, the public will wake up one day and there's monumental changes made in our society and they'll wonder what happened and why they didn't get off their butts and get involved. I say to Canadians, man, I say this a lot of times, guys. I think if Canadians really knew the danger that this country's in right now, you would see the rise in the people that we need to see. So why is it that we can't get that message through to the Canadian heart? I don't understand, but there's a reason. I'm going to let you talk to that. But it's something that I ask myself every day. How can we get through to a heart that has been so contaminated, so conditioned, so brainwashed that it's almost impossible to reach? How do we do that? Question of the day. Go ahead, Jorgen. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Well, thanks a lot for having me on, Barry. And how do we do it? How do we fix it? Well, it starts with education. As everybody knows, knowledge is power. So the education system that has been turned on its head by this Marxist culturalist ideology that is driving us all mad, the latest example being this Yaniv person, this transgender who needs to have his scrotum waxed by a couple of females and taking the whole thing to court.
I walked in the right time,
man. Yeah. I mean.
Oh, okay, let's keep it clean. Go ahead.
Well, I am keeping it clean. That's where we are, Barry. Barry, that's where we are. This Yaniv person just took two women to court for this. This is where we are. And he somehow takes the moral high ground. So we've replaced the moral attitudes that are governed by the laws of God with moral attitudes that are governed by people that have demented and warped ideologies driving humanity, as you guys all know. I mean, these are
things. Sodom and Gomorrah is ruling Bethlehem.
Absolutely.
Naked men walking the street in Toronto and they're not being arrested. What's with that?
Well, that's part of the plan. That's part of the plan. Decentralize our people and to believe in this is natural. Bestiality is normal now. They're lowering the standards. Harper did it with the SPP agreement. No, most people don't know this. It was called the Security Prosperity Partnership Agreement in 2006 in Montebello, Quebec. I was there. And they did this deliberately and intentionally. They had to reduce the first, they said they're going to reduce for trade barriers. They're going to have to reduce our food quality. It wasn't about food. It was about reducing everything down to nothing.
You know, like the nearly meat burgers at Tim Hortons.
Yeah, plant-based derivatives. Plant-based. Yeah.
Why would they what about
GMOs? All aspects of food.
Why would they be introducing something like that so that they can destroy all the cattle farms and the infrastructure of feeding huge cities like Toronto, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, and control exactly what kind of chemicals go into the food you eat.
Exactly.
Well, here's one for you, Barry. This is a very good analogy. I'm a hunter, right? I've hunted elk all my life since I was, you know, like at least 7, 8 years old, and moose, et cetera, et cetera. I ate chicken. I was born raising rabbits, so that's what I ate. So I ate rabbits. I ate meat. You cannot change your genetics. We are carnivores and we eat plants. That's how we survive.
Omnivores. Yeah.
Omnivores. Whatever you want to call it. I'll call myself a carnivore because I eat more meat. Actually, Duke is a carnivore. He only eats meat.
I eat things. What? Eat veggies. That's how I get my veggies.
So we need.
What are you, Jürgen?
We need that protein diet, that food diet. That's how we survive.
Our bodies.
And now I'm not a big fan of milk. I don't drink milk. Okay, sorry, Jürgen.
Okay. Well, I'm a meat eater just like the rest of us. And I think, like you say, we're being poisoned. We all know that. Again, you asked a question earlier that I'd like to address why we are where we are, basically. One thing that, you know, in 1992 in Brazil, all right, the United Nations signed Agenda 21. That was 1992. Okay, so everybody get your head out of the sand, because 1992 was almost 30 years ago, if my math is correct, right? Almost 30 years ago, people started saying, you know what? United Nations has an agenda that goes against humanity. And guess what? All those people were called conspiracy theorists. All those people were called liars. All those people were put down by the mainstream media, by every political entity on the planet, because they were drawing out what was in white papers in 1992. And now all of a sudden, now that we're getting close, which it was designed to get us, don't forget.
Barry, are you still there?
Yeah. My line went out for about 30 seconds there, guys. I just got back. I missed what you said there. My internet's been going in and out today a little bit, and it went out for about 20 seconds there. So I missed what you said, bud. Can you guys hear me?
We lost Jürgen now.
Oh, he'll come. Well, maybe Steve can try and pull him back in again. But yeah, I've had a little bit of trouble with my internet.
He's still here.
I got a buddy.
He's still in the call.
Okay, I'm sorry. I missed what you were saying there, Jürgen. You have to apologize. I apologize for that. He's still on the call, but we don't hear him.
Yeah, I think we got a problem with his connection on his end. I can hear you. You can hear me. Jürgen is the weak link in the chain.
There, he just dropped off.
Can everybody hear us on the YouTube and the Facebook page?
Yeah, they're telling us. They can hear us, but they're telling me over in Shake and Wake that I was breaking up a little bit. So, okay, it says we're good now. But yeah, I didn't. What was Jürgen talking about? Maybe you guys should just bring me up the snuff there, because I said I was gone for about 15, 20 seconds there.
I couldn't really understand him. He was breaking up.
Okay. Well, where were we in this conversation?
Don't you love amateur radio, man?
No props here. Where were we with this conversation? We were talking about lots of different things at this point. You know what? It doesn't matter what we talk about. It all comes back to the same agenda.
He was mentioning something about 1991.
92.
Right.
91, 92, but...
Right, when they changed the... when they planned on reducing the nutrients in our food over the course of time, to, of course, make us sicker, which makes more money for big pharma, which means we're taking more chemicals, which means more of us are dying. Means they have patients for life. Unbelievable, man, what I see going on in big pharma. Well, you know, big pharma's reached their pinnacle of success when everybody in our society is sick, and it seems like everybody is sick now. And the numbers I see are astronomical and climbing like crazy. But we've got to turn this around. That's just one aspect of what we see going on. Just one aspect. But it all plays together. Zombie apocalypse is coming.
Hello.
And Jürgen, you're back.
I'm back. What happened? I don't know. Was it my internet that cut off?
I actually didn't hear the last 20 seconds of what you were saying there, bud. My internet went out, or the signal went out, and I'm going to let you continue on from where you were.
I know we were talking about the Agenda 21 being signed in Brazil in 1992, and, you know, we're wondering why we're in this deep mess, because I feel like it's only been the last few years that most of the people have started to wake up. So while for 25 years almost, or over 20 years anyways, most people have been in the dark and not even paid attention to Agenda 21 or taken it seriously, there are people that have really been affected by it, and yet their stories are never told in this country. We have a media, of course, that supports that agenda, so you're not going to hear about people driven out of the country. And the fact that a big part of this that makes us such a mess is that they have created that rural-urban divide, right? That is so huge when you think about it. It's almost as if, like, when I had my 50 acres and people from the city would come and see the horses at the back, some of the kids would be afraid. They didn't even know what a horse was. It was just insane, the amount of miseducation, uneducation, non-education that was happening in terms of what rural people bring to the urban landscape, in terms of our lifestyle, in terms of the food that is produced, all of it. It's like you get these comments from the lefties that, yeah, well, why do you kill a cow? You can just buy a package at the grocery store. Right. So when you're living that, and when you see the economy part of the Green Energy and Economy Act, that's what most people miss. They focus on the green energy part, which is the windmills and the massive waste of money.
What green energy? Oh, sorry, yeah. I forgot that. Have you ever seen a lithium mine?
Exactly right.
Have you seen what isotopes to create solar power looks like? Have you
the
heard
energy it? Part is what they forgot. That's right. Absolutely right. I agree.
There you go. Depleted uranium and isotopes are about the same. We have a serious issue with the nuclear plants with depleted uranium. We have a serious issue with isotopes to create solar power.
Hey. Homer Simpson and his buddy Barney have the nuclear power system perfectly under control.
That's right.
Yeah.
So right. That's what we have. We have misinformation. The green was brought in through UN Agenda 21 to divide the people, divide them.
Because it gives them a warm and fuzzy feeling to think they're saving the butterflies.
I mean, if we wanted green energy, what we should have did was we should have been growing more marijuana and hemp.
You want
4 acres of hemp is equivalent to 20 acres of trees.
Oh, no, I can't say that. We're on the radio.
Yeah. So we have a school system of indoctrination where they teach nothing but useless crap. And they don't teach them. They program them a certain direction.
They take Jesus and God and the Lord's Prayer out of our schools and then force our kids to take Islamic prayer.
Well, I'm looking at the Alberta Constitution they're working on, and I like it because it removes all religion. If you want to practice witchcraft, do it at home. As far as I'm concerned, seriously, I know through my studies and my research that all the religions were written by the Vatican. The Muslim, Jehovah Witnesses, the Christianity, all these fake religions were written by them to confuse and divide the people. Now, if you want to follow the Ten Commandments, love it. So let's have a constitution of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Guess what? I would put the government out of business.
So Jürgen, you're in Alberta. You're in Alberta, Jürgen. What's going on in Alberta? I know there's quite a movement going on amongst a lot of Albertans right now.
That's what I was
going
to ask him, Barry. Get out of my
head. Yeah, well, let's.
I got into your head there for a minute.
I want to hear from Jürgen, too, what's going on over there.
Well, I got to tell you, it was quite interesting a couple of weeks ago to have Max Bernier down here in Medicine Hat, which is quite interesting for a small town like this, which is great. It was nice to meet him face to face, shake his hand once again, like I did up on the hill when I emceed a protest against M103 back in March of 2017. Back then he was running for the leadership. Kelly Leach was up there as well, and I forget who else. A couple of other politicians inserted themselves into our rally. That was the first time I confronted Antifa. However, getting back to Alberta and the situation here, there are two, basically three strong frames of mind here. And I guess one of them, of course, being the Progressive Conservative Party, A lot of people seem to feel that Andrew Scheer is the answer. He's the ticket. The conservatives, again, it's the, you know, the same bird going the same direction. The people on comment sections, they sound an awful lot like liberals, to be quite honest, because they're not opening their minds to true conservatism, which is on the platform of Maxime Bernier. However, there's also a third element, which is the separation movement. If there is not a shift in Ottawa politics come October, then the push for separation will be something like you've never seen before. And it will be a combination of three provinces. It'll be Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, bringing strong conservative values and sort of a republic type of attitude to a new federation of provinces in a way. And it's very strong. The people leading that movement are very solid people, ex-RCMP, people who have Canadian values. And, you know, it's really something, fellas, because I'm here, as you know, you guys know, Duke and Barry specifically, you know some of my history, but my work with Dr. Marguerite Ritchie at the Human Rights Institute of Canada propelled me in many ways to come to Alberta. She told me many years ago, Jürgen, you need to go to Alberta because it's the last place to save Canadian values, because they still have that pioneer spirit. They still have the entrepreneurial drive that creates the kind of economic systems that brought us the kind of fortune and prosperity that we've been able to experience in this country the last number of years. You know, so to be out here, that movement is something that is very strong out here and is gaining a lot of momentum, especially with the fact that Ontario and Quebec have such a stranglehold on the vote. Like, they're right. Going to determine who wins this election before we get a chance to see what's happening.
What election?
Yeah, election. Exactly. Exactly. Election. Like a joke it is. We know that. And our work with Dr. Ritchie, we know that. Every law that we have is against the law. When the Queen signed the repatriated constitution of Pierre Trudeau, we had that in the office of the Institute. Dr. Ritchie had a copy of it. And she didn't sign on the bottom line, guys. She didn't sign on the line where she was supposed to. She signed at the top of the document.
Okay? Yeah, well, she signed in 1982. I brought that up yesterday. I brought that up yesterday in our live feed we did last night about her signing that paper.
Yeah.
The fake constitution in 1982.
Yeah.
And nobody understood that. And I posted the video and I wanted people to go look at it because they'll look.
There you go.
And see that she couldn't sign it because she had no authority to sign it. Does that make sense?
That's right. That's why she signed it at the top of the document.
That's right. On the secondly, I want to talk to you about this independence thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Alberta is already independent. It's a nation.
I know that. We know that out here. We know all that.
Okay. There's no federation papers. We know that.
That's right.
I want everybody to notice. So you cannot separate and create a Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba thing. You know why? You can create an Alberta country. You can create a Saskatchewan country. And you can create a Winnipeg, Manitoba. Then those three countries can form a union or a state or a republic or whatever, or a country like the United States, you know, united, whatever. But you cannot take the three countries and separate. They're already separated. And
first of all, there's nothing to separate from.
No, I've been watching how the Independence Party came into Saskatchewan and Alberta. I've been watching them since 2015. Okay. I went to the meetings in Alberta and I went to Saskatchewan and I listened. I wanted to know who was behind it. And as I got more involved watching, never told them who I was. I cut my hair real short that time. I think it was like down to the military kind of thing at the time. Okay.
Yeah, I keep my hair short.
Make a long story short, I just sat back and listened, and then I realized it was hijacked. It was owned by the Masons, looking after their own special interests, again, like usual. This is why it's very important. The only way we can ensure equality in the maximum of law is that we, the people, create the Constitution that makes us protected. That's it. And that will stop the Masons and the Freemasons and the money launderers from hijacking Alberta or Saskatchewan. Manitoba is still going to be a long ways. Manitoba has been like, it's a socialist It's a communist-run country, Manitoba is. Yes, you have your farmers in the outback. Yes, they're very good people. I went and seen the farmers. Awesome. But the downtown core of the main population is Winnipeg, and Winnipeg is a cesspool. It seems like all the cities are cesspools. Now, yep. I'm not trying to be rude. Edmonton is a cesspool. And Antifa, liberalism, whatever you want to call it, it's a disease. Calgary still has a functioning basis system. And everybody says conservative. I don't like the word conservative. You know what? What we should call it is more of a working man, working woman nation. Does that make sense? Mm. Does that make sense to you?
It makes sense to me.
Okay, good. So we have a working environment where we understand that we, the people, want to create something and create something better for our families in the future. That's the objective of what all fathers and mothers want to do. They want to make their children have a better life. The socialist system we have in Edmonton is where we, the people, don't want to work, and we don't care about anybody else's life as long as we can sit back on whatever they call it, Antifa, and the socialist system. I call it the welfare state of Edmonton. No different than Winnipeg. That's what we have based in Winnipeg. We have a structured system. Take from Peter, take from Paul, and give to Frank and Jane and Harry and Mary and the migrants. Okay? Mm. That's what we have. We take from the working man or the working woman to give to somebody else that doesn't want to work. We're never going to have a country if you can't work for something. That's the bottom line. You can't keep taking and taking and taking. We are bankrupt because of one reason. Because the policies we have by the corporation are bankrupting everybody. And that's what we've got to fix. I'm not saying you have to go to work to survive. I want people to go to work because they want to better themselves. That means skills, building houses, building themselves up, whatever they want to do, but we have to restructure it back to the way it was. And that's what Alberta was. When you wanted to work, you wanted to do better, you went to Alberta and you got a decent job and you got a decent pay and you got treated with respect because you were giving to the community, to the nation, to the country of Alberta. And Alberta has supported every single country across this nation because of its wealth. And the Bilderberg Group wants Alberta's wealth. This is why they're bankrupting Alberta. They want their wealth. We have to be very careful not to fall into the traps of this thing called separation parties, independence parties, when we're already independent. Now, anybody with a logical mind can look at the data we got on The Myth is Canada. You can look at Dennis Shaw's information that we do not have a constitution. You brought it up earlier. The Queen did not sign that paper. She signed the top of it. She probably wrote down the very top, F you, turd shit.
Hey, no swearing.
That was swearing.
Well, Jürgen, you can remember 10 years ago what the economy was like in Alberta. You know, I mean, that's all I ever heard in BC was you wanted to make money, go to Alberta. And now you look at the state of the economy in Alberta, and why has that happened? Well, it's been manufactured by our government to destroy the economic engine of Canada. I mean, transfer payment alone out of Alberta over the years, look how much money Alberta has sent to the rest of Canada and what they've gotten back.
$22 million plus per year.
Okay.
Well, I know.
Guys.
I've looked at the numbers.
Can I just sort of veer us off on a little path on a different rabbit hole here? Earlier, we've been talking about a whole lot of things, and we talked about the sovereignty of the provinces, meaning the sovereignty of the people in the provinces. I would like to take a minute here and read to you a short little section from a Canadian federal government document known as the Barr-Smith Interrogation. This interrogation took place in the late 1940s. Mr. Barr is what they called back then King's Counsel. It's what today we would call a federal or crown attorney. And he was questioning Mr. Russell Rogers Smith, the author of Section 7 of the British Statute of Westminster. And during the investigation, Mr. Smith asks Mr. Barr, Mr. Barr asks, what, in your opinion, has the effect on Canada's status of the Statute of Westminster? That's, in other words, what effect has the Statute of Westminster had on Canada? And Mr. Smith replied, the Statute of Westminster has altered the status of each and every province of Canada. Section 11 of the Statute of Westminster raises each province of Canada from the position of a colony to that of a sovereign state. Section 11 is as follows. Meaning of colony in future acts, notwithstanding anything in the Interpretation Act of 1889, the expression colony shall not, in any act of the Parliament of the United Kingdom passed after the commencement of this act, include a dominion or any province or state forming part of a dominion. In other words, the federal government of the United Kingdom, the Parliament of the United Kingdom, has no power over dominions and colonies or the provinces thereof as of 1931, when the Statute of Westminster came into effect. He goes on to state, as there are no immediate statuses between that of a colony and a sovereign state, and any province of Canada is no longer a colony, they must, of necessity, be sovereign states, as they come within the requirements set forth in Section 11.
Interesting. Were you aware of this information, Jürgen?
And which one is a sovereign state out of all the provinces, guys?
Each and every one.
Yeah,
each and every one, because they started out as dominions. No. You're breaking up again, Jorgen. Jorgen?
I think we lost him again.
Well, I'd like to read another clip here from this very same interview where the federal attorney says, he goes on, this is rather lengthy. He says here, consequently, the Dominion government cannot repeal or amend any portion of that act. Is it not fair to say then that insofar as the Dominion of Canada is concerned, the Statute of Westminster left us in exactly the same position as we were before, that insofar as the Dominion Parliament is concerned. In other words, the federal lawyer is saying, so the Statute of Westminster didn't affect Canada. And Mr. Smith turns to him and replies, that the answer is no. The British North America Act is a statute of the Imperial Parliament, creating an ancillary body to aid and advise the Governor General. And it could only be effective if there is a duly appointed Governor General for Canada, whereas no Governor General has been appointed by the Crown in Chancery since 1931, when the Act was enacted.
That's a lot of information to comprehend.
Well, it's actually not a lot. That's why I've asked so many people. We're trying to make it simple, easy, and the website's there, The Myth is Canada. One of the best videos ever done, as far as I can see, Phil, is Dennis Shaw. He was trying to explain to you that everything is fiction. The video is Canada a country without a constitution? He breaks it right down. He explains the governor general. He explains the lieutenant governor. He explains the entire fraudulent system.
Yeah.
And that's basically the line. Everything we're putting out are facts.
Now, here's the thing to think about. This Smith Barr interview that is a documented archive with our federal government. Why did the federal government have to go and question the author of British legislation? Because the legislation turned the federal government into criminals. As long as they stayed in Ottawa and continued doing what they were doing, they were criminals. And to find out how deeply they could, or how easily they could hide what they were doing from the people, they went and interviewed and questioned the very author of the laws that turned them into criminals. That was Mr. Russell Rogers Smith. Mr. Smith goes on to point out here, when he says the answer is no, he goes on to point out Section 7, Paragraph 2 of the Statute of Westminster grants to each province individually those powers which were granted to the Commonwealth of Australia, the Union of South Africa, wow, the Irish Free State, New Zealand, and Newfoundland. The provinces of Canada can either assert themselves as sovereign states, or they may mutually agree to create a union of the provinces.
Pretty well said it straight out there. I mean, it's straightforward, and that's the problem. We need,
as long as people accept the fact that Canada was created, I shouldn't say Canada was created, the Canadian government, the Government of Canada Inc., was created in 1867 by a British law, and only a British law, not a Canadian law, only a British law can change British law. It took two of them. The first one in 1893, the Statutory Laws Revisions Act that came into effect on the death of Queen Victoria in 1901, making her the last monarch for all, not just Canada, all of the colonies and dominions. The final act of releasing the kids and kicking the kids out of the basement was the passing of the Statute of Westminster in 1931. And I just read you our federal government's own investigation into how much they need to, well, sorry, Barry, they need to cover their ass in order to keep the Canadian public from finding out that the government is illegal, that we, the people of Canada, have the same rights that Americans fought for in 1776. All we have to do is stand up and claim what is ours.
Boy, we need to educate the Canadian public, don't we, Duke?
Well, that's what we're doing. We're going from town to town. We're setting up committees. We're building team leaders. And these team leaders are reaching out and building more team leaders. So now we have a lot of people speaking the truth and educating. Now we take the next step. We start building these team leaders in these areas of communities. So we have people that are sovereign and been fighting for sovereign rights for a long time. We have a lot of people that looked at Magna Carta. Now we all understand that Magna Carta, Section 61, is nothing to do with us. So we move on. We don't have to listen. Magna Carta had some great ideas, but Magna Carta does not belong to us. It belongs to the Queen and her heirs and the noblemen, okay? Nothing to do with the peasants and the slaves. We are the peasants and the slaves. So we look at the B&A Act, and the B&A Act says, to her Queen and her heirs, we are the peasants, we don't count. The Charter of Rights does not have our name on it. It only applies to them. So when you educate people that, they go, oh, we have Charter of Rights. Really? You don't have any rights. You are a tax slave. The government tells you what you're going to pay. They can increase the taxes without your consent. So eventually you have to learn going, maybe the system's against us. We know that now. So let's move on with the solution. The solution is a constitution. We have a lawful and legal right to create a...
Jorgen, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here. The Charter of Limited Rights and Restricted Freedoms. Is that the one you're talking about? You mean the French...
buddy, you nailed her. Buddy, you know, Jorgen, I just put up that new video. It's not a new video. I've had it for years. I get, 50,000 hits on it, and then YouTube takes it down because it's considered hate crime or something, having a document that tells you the truth. So in that document, I actually put the Charter of Rights on there with the big X's. I love that one, eh? You don't have any rights.
Limited rights and restricted freedoms is what it is. It's a French civil code hoisted upon British common law based on common sense, right? You take a French civil code based on common sense law, and you destroy the entire judicial system as per plan by the agenda driven by the United Nations and Maurice Strong, headed by Pierre Trudeau and Chrétien, a whole Laurentian elite, Mulroney, the whole bunch of them. Every single one of them, Paul Martin included, there isn't a shift between any one of them.
They're all liars.
All liars.
I always look at it like this. The Turnshed came in, removed the bank, Trudeau, and then Pierre, then Mulroney comes in, gives us the NAFTA, free trade. This, that was free trade, free trade to all their buddies. And then Gretchen came in. Then Paul Martin came in. And Paul Martin, he pulled off the 10% fractional reserve spending where they had to bring in GST, right?
Yeah.
That wasn't voted by the people.
A bunch of stuff to the provinces.
Yep. It's just a scam over and over and over. And people
now keep putting up this. Now they ran the carbon tax down our throats.
The Magna Carta.
No, carbon tax.
Oh, the carbon tax.
Yeah.
You know, the next
biggest,
tax is going to be.
Biggest tax grab. They're going to start taxing our. Yeah, well, they're going to start taxing. When we pass air now, they're going to start taxing that. When we breathe, they're going to start taxing that. You're only allowed so many breaths per hour, guys. After that, you're going to get taxed. And we're going to put a monitor on you.
So we were talking about the Suns. You have a copy of that right now, Andy?
Oh,
I'm gonna put that up to the website today, but it's a good document. Resolution from Assembly Number 2, Native Southern Canada. I'm gonna put this up on the website today. Now
What you see here on the camera, folks on Facebook watching, that's the resolutions from Assembly Number 2, Native Sons of Canada. Dated 1926. I just got done telling you that in 1901, when Queen Victoria died, she was the last monarch of all of the dominions, including Canada. 25 years after she died, citizens in Canada, specifically this report, was produced by Russell Rogers Smith, and a group of native leaders from Northern Alberta submitted to the federal government on September 24th, 1926. It was submitted to William Lyon Mackenzie King, Prime Minister of Canada. So they put this whole thing together. It addresses sovereign rights, sovereign status, immigration, imperial defense, Canadian resources, the Governor General, Privy Council appeals, and Locarno or war and neutrality. It talks about all kinds of things that we as Canadians are talking about now, issues we need to address like immigration. We hereby urge on the Government of Canada the need for closer restriction rather than relaxing the tests and standards for admission to Canada. This assembly is unalterably opposed to assisted imperial immigration in any form, such as having a federal government delegation touring India, telling them how to come to Canada and use our immigration process and fast track their way into our country. In 1926, that's exactly the thing they were bitching about. England was fast tracking immigration from places like Ireland, where they didn't want Roman Catholic Irish, and they were shipping them over here to Canada and to Australia and New Zealand. Canada was used as a penal colony, just like New Zealand and Australia were, for England. So back to this paragraph. This assembly is unalterably opposed to assisted imperial immigration in any form, and in particular is opposed to a policy designed to unload on Canada immigrants from Great Britain as alleged settlers who are mentally, morally, and physically unfit, thereby tending to lower the high standard of Canadian citizenship. Gee, have we recently seen our Canadian government lowering the standards of citizenship and the requirements you must meet in order to become a Canadian citizen? In 1926, they were bitching about the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. Well,
here's another thing, too. I'll have that uploaded today before tonight's show so everybody can have it from the website so they can see it. I'm also doing whole Canada, too. I'll have that done so people can go for the website and start doing that. But here's one for you. It was Walter F. Call from 1935 to 1949. I've uploaded. Is Canada a country without a constitution? It's a factual examination of the constitutional problem. So Walter F. Call, members of Parliament, Jasper Edson, 1935 to 1949, And it was revisited in 1997. I had the original copy, but I had it backed up. So I retrieved it, and I've got it back up on the Internet again for everybody to look at. I've actually posted it into the Facebook page for comments. It says Canada, a country without a constitution. The information is there. Now, the main issue is this. In the findings, I put the main title of the highlights of this. Okay. Therefore, it says easy to see that Canada is not a confederation. Okay, so let you guys know that. So if you want to read that, I put the link into the page so you can go look at it. And it's a good example. When you read this, you'll find out that Canada doesn't have a constitution. And that's why I brought that up, because this weekend we met with Nicola Brasser from Freedom 2017, and they're trying to base it on a constitution that doesn't exist.
I have a question for Jorgen. Jorgen, in your opinion, where would you put Alberta on a scale of 1 to 10 on a level of awakening? Where would you put Alberta? 5, 7, 3, 10 being everyone in the province is wide awake and aware of what's going on, 1 being nobody knows a damn thing. Where would you rate Alberta today? Jorgen?
We're not hearing. He's here. He's in the room.
Ground control to Major Jorgen. There's something wrong. Your circuit's dead.
Yeah, I think he's having some problems with his audio there, Duke. Because he is in the room, but we're not hearing him. So.
I know. I see him here on the Skype window, but...
Yeah, I know. Good question. I believe that Alberta is probably one of the most awake provinces in Canada right now, I would say. Because
you think so?
Well, I think so. I think Alberta, because of the impact on the economy in Alberta in the last 3 or 4 years, the amount of jobs that have been lost, people are really starting to pay attention to why. Why is this happening in a province that's so rich that it could literally support the rest of Canada? And now the unemployment numbers and what's going on in Alberta, I know Jason Kenney's yapping off about changing all of this, but... Alberta should be prospering right now, and the fact that they shut down the pipelines through all this other legislative bull crap and how they stopped the pipelines, well, they're vital to the Canadian economy, and they've managed to shut them down, and now Alberta's really feeling the pinch. And I think Albertans are really starting to pay attention and looking for answers right now. That's what I think. When it hits close to home, I think it really affects people.
I think Alberta has a high degree of intelligent people, because Alberta has based their economy on education, not the bullshit school system education, but the real education. Welders, pipeliners, mechanics, electricians, welders, carpenters.
Yeah.
Tradesmen. Alberta is a tradesman paradise. So to become a tradesman, these men and women, even in health and safety, they had to learn stuff. The paramedics, very high standard. So the very high standard they used to better their nation. The children got excellent training because the men above them were training them. It didn't matter if you were working in the oil rigs as a driller or roughneck or whatever, you still learned about becoming a motorman, and you built yourself up. I'm not saying the rigs was a great job. I did the rigs when I was younger too, but you started learning that directional drilling. You learned how to use computers. You learned how to think, and you learned how to work and troubleshoot, because there was nobody touched it. You had a job to get done. You got it done, and people relied on you to get a job done, and those skills were passed down. Where other nations, like, sorry to say it, but it's different. So we had a high standard of doing better things and greater things. So their economy succeeded. When the rest of the countries were in failure, Alberta still pushed forward. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's bottom line.
I've watched that happen over the years. Being close to Alberta, I follow what's going on over there pretty closely. Yeah, which you kind of hit it right on the head there. I mean, the economy, like we talked about earlier in the show, you know, you get a boom in the economy, and then you get a depression, and all of a sudden everybody is losing their jobs. But what's been going on in Alberta has been manufactured by the government on purpose, of course, to destroy the economy. 100%, it's been manufactured. And Albertans are aware of this, and they're at a point now. I talk to people like Kelly Elizabeth, and I talk to other people that are involved in Alberta politics, and Albertans are getting close to a breaking point, and they're going to do something radical. If this Liberal government manages to get back into power, you'll see a shift. You will see it happen.
Now, but Barry's not going to matter. It doesn't matter. Jason Kenney got in as the new premier. It's not going to matter. You know why? Jason Kenney is just another puppet. And when Horgan was on there earlier, he's mentioned about he went and seen Max Bernier. Max Bernier is not going to save the country. It's not going to happen. They're all the same. People just can't get it grasped around their head. But 88 years of voting in this de facto system, they're looking for a hero to come and save them. No, it's not going to happen. These people are all in bed. Maxime Bernier is not going to help you. You know why? Because Maxime Bernier is a globalist. Sorry to say it. They say the right things to get elected. And Duke's been over this 1,000 times in court cases, 1991. No politician has to listen to you. That politician has to follow the Bilderberg Group objectives. That's the UN Agenda 21.
To quote George Carlin, they don't give an F about you.
And this thing here, political correctness is communism pretending to be manners.
Fascism.
I know, get rid of fascism. Put the right word in there. It's called communism. Most of it communism. I'm serious. We got it. The people have been misled through history, misled through the bank. Some person today, I went in with Duke to next to Walmart. I was talking to two people, and they both didn't know that we don't have a Bank of Canada. Seriously. They don't even know that. So that tells, I met two today, but now they know, and now they're on our show now, not my show or Duke's show, but they're on our page, or what do you want to call it? Listening. Because now they're trying to figure out, yeah, there's something's not wrong in this. Everything's wrong in the system. So that's the bottom line. You got to fix it. And the way to fix it is we get rid of the de facto government and we start working on de jure government with constitutional conventions. And I like I said, we spent all day with the Six Nations down there. I spent time with Nicole Robrasser, and I explained to her we're not a shareholder. And it's so hard because people think, well, we lived here all our lives. We must have something. No, we don't. We're not a shareholder of the Corporation of Canada. It's a company. I mean, how many shares you got in? Do you own Coca-Cola? Did you buy a share in a Coca-Cola? No, you didn't. It's a company. It's a corporation. It's Canada.inc. It's on the stock exchange market. Go look it up. It's there. It's not a country. It's a corporation. So it's so hard for people to understand that because they've been raised. You know, we have the O Canada song, right? It's a song. We're going to have an Alberta song. Freedom, liberty in Alberta, whatever we call it. So that's what we have to get. The bottom line is this. When you see people come out and say, we want our independence, you already are independent. If they can't read that, then they're working against you. People need to work towards the same cause. The cause is a constitution that frees all the people from this de facto system and gives the people sovereign ability, and become sovereign 100%. That's the bottom line. Once we are sovereign right now, we just got to step up and take the plate. Literally.
Well, we're down to the last 4 minutes here, guys. So I'm going to let Duke plug his show, and when he's on again, Duke does quite a bit of radio work. Plug your show there, Duke.
I'll say one thing to everybody. It's Maritime Incorporation, no stockholders. So that totally tells you right there that we need to all come together on a constitution.
Well, Barry, thank you, buddy. First, I want to thank you, Barry, and welcome you back after your adventures in the great mountains of Western Canada. I hope your knee heals up and you're not laid up too long, and I think hockey will survive without you for one season. Thank you for having us on your show, sir. As usual, it's been a pleasure. Your show, I have to admit, Barry, we don't curse and swear, but we don't hold back on anything. We talk about any topic on your shows, and that's part of the reason why I like you, buddy, because you're out there putting it out real and putting it out hard for people to take it. I am live tonight every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can find Duke Willis on Facebook or YouTube. So YouTube/Duke Willis, Facebook/Duke Willis, Friday nights at 9 on the patio. As the name implies, that's my relaxed. Come sit on the patio, talk about anything and everything, and I don't care if you swear because it's my patio. Saturday night is my politically speaking show. As the name implies, We try and focus the topics of conversation on current political issues, history of politics, and how politics is affecting us, and how the many fingers of politics are working their way into our daily lives. Every Sunday is my CPR, Canadian Patriot Report, where we talk about all the things affecting patriots and what patriots can do, from big, huge rallies to sidewalk protests to doing their own small little bit to make a difference here in Canada. Barry, thanks again for having us on, brother.
Well, hey, thanks, Duke, and thanks, Jesse, for joining me today. I know that this kind of a conversation is really hard for me to comprehend, but I'm going to try and really start applying myself to everything that was said here today, because we are in trouble as a country, and we need solutions. And to me, this is the only logical solution that we have going forward. So thanks for joining me today, gentlemen. Thanks for joining the show today, guys. It's good to be back, and I'll get a couple of real cool guests lined up for next week, and I'll be back next week at the same time, same place. Thanks to Steve Roberts for producing my show and putting up with us, and thanks to PIR for providing this platform and Shake and Wake for simulcasting our show. Love all you guys, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Have a great week, and God bless you all. Bye for now.